I want to read the text to you this morning. You'll find it in the book of Mark, chapter number 12. Mark, chapter number 12. And then the same account then is found over in Luke, chapter number 20. And so the reason how come I mentioned that is because sometimes I pull from one account because the others leave some of it out, and then some of them add a little bit more. And Luke was a physician. And he was a little bit more detailed in his writings than Mark was. And I want to maybe pull a few things from both of those accounts. But I want to read from one account this morning in the book of Mark in chapter number 12. I want to begin reading with verse number 18. When you find your place, stand with us and we'll honor the Bible. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying, left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, this morning, as humble as we know how, thanking you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy, for the privilege that we have to come into your house one more time. We thank you, Lord, for the church, these that are bound with us. Father, I pray this morning that your will be done. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, sinners would be converted and backsliders would turn from their wicked ways. We ask you now, Lord, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil and give us power to preach your word, Lord. Let us leave here, Father, change, different, Lord, than we were when we come. Have your way with us now and give us the words that we need to say and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, for a few minutes on some thoughts about eternity. I want to talk to us on some thoughts about eternity. Now, the Bible said that the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They believed in God, but they didn't believe in a hereafter. They're no different than a lot of people are today. A lot of people don't believe in a hereafter. They feel like that what is going to happen is going to happen just right here. The Bible speaks oftentimes of eternity. God is eternal. The Lord Jesus is eternal. He come from God, therefore he's eternal. The Bible said that Jesus come that you might have eternal life. Not a temporal only, but to have eternal life. What a blessing. What a promise that is to somebody that knows about life. You know, we know about life and we know how precious that this life that we possess here is. And it is a blessing to be among the living today, isn't it? To be among these that are alive, it's a blessing to be here among one another and where we can enjoy the blessings of friends and family and
brothers and sisters in Christ, and such a joy to be alive. It seems like it's so tragically when somebody dies, when you have to go to the funeral home, and there they are in the casket, and we look at them, and we talk about the life that's been behind them, and if that was all there was to it, wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be hard to understand the Sadducees? Now, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees and also the scribes. Now, they were Jewish in their sect, and the Sadducees is probably, the way I understand it, they were of the minority of all the groups, but they were the most powerful and vocal of all the groups, and oftentimes they'd be the ones that stirred most up in what's done. Oftentimes it's the one that does holler the loudest that gets the most attention. And what they were asking here is a question about eternity. They were asking the question about life after death, because they did not believe in the resurrection. And what they were trying to do was to catch Jesus off guard. Maybe to catch him saying something or doing something that might cause him to be put in prison or even carried off to death and blaspheming God. And so now they're questioning him about something that they hold dear to their thoughts. And their thoughts is always temporary. It's always in the temporal. It's always in this life. And because they did not believe that a person can be raised from the dead, nor did they believe in eternity. You know, I think about eternity oftentimes, and we talk about one eternal day with the Lord. Amen. Eternity, it's not bound like it is, like our lives are down here when we live in time. We deal with 7 days a week, 24 hours a day down here on earth. And so this is all the life that we know about. And the only life that we know is determined in time and in space and where we're at here in this very moment, because we don't know anything any different. Right? Anybody here been in eternity before? Nobody's been in eternity before. And so all that we can do is to put our faith and our trust in eternal life. And that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible said that everything that we lost in Adam, we gained in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we lost life in Adam, but we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now there's a question about eternity. And I want to, if we can this morning, maybe talk about some thoughts that we have for eternity. And I wrote some of those little thoughts down that could run through my mind. And one of those thoughts that I thought about, will you be known as you in heaven? Will you be known as you in heaven? And, you know, I like to think that you'll know me when I get to heaven. They'll know me when I get to heaven. And when you get there, you'll know me when I get to when I get there. And, you know, for some reason or another, evidently the Sadducees thought that who we are and the personality that we are and who we are would be all forgot about at the grave. But it's much deeper than that. Why in the world would we even think that we wouldn't be the same person that we are in heaven? Amen. Why would you think that? What would you even base that on? Where would you think the changing of you would take place at, somewhere between here and eternity? Wouldn't you think, just logically speaking, that you would be you in heaven? Yes. Why would you have any reason to be somebody else or be somebody that you wouldn't be in heaven? After all, God made every individual, amen, and even every person's DNA is different on earth. There's no two people exactly the same, and so we only have one identity. I'm William McClellan, and there is no other William McClellan, amen. And so you're not going to be me, nor am I going to be you. But there's no reason for me to believe, nor for you to believe, that you're going to be somebody else when you get to heaven. I like that, don't you? Yeah. And it kind of helps me feel a little comforting knowing that I'm going to be that same personality, that same person that you know while I'm here. You're going to get to know the same one up in heaven. Amen. Miss D, I want you to know I'll be there as me. Hallelujah. I want you to know that I'll be me in heaven. And you'll be you in heaven. There's no Bible text that suggests any different. Amen. We've got no reason to change. Amen. And so now the Bible tells us here, not only will you be you, but there will be no marriage in heaven. Now, let me back up just a minute on the you issue. You're going to be better than you when you get to heaven. I'm going to be me, but I'm going to be better me. You're going to be better you. Amen. I don't want you to misunderstand that, because when we get there, amen, we're going to be a different me, but I'm going to be me. I'm going to be better. Amen. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no marriage in heaven. Jesus said concerning this question about marriage, he said, "For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven." And he said, "And as touching the dead, they rise." All right, now, there is no marriage in heaven. Now, marriage is an institution, or is instituted here on earth for all mankind, not just Christian people, but for everybody, for all the human race. Marry. Yeah. Marrying someone is the highest level that we know of as love.
Amen.
That's the highest degree right there, as we know of as love and commitment. Now, some loves are superficial. Little boys and little girls, when they date one another, they'll say, "I love you." Well, they don't really mean that. They just say that because that's all they know to say. But we're real. So I had a young couple come to me one time and ask me if I'd marry them. And I asked the question, "Well, why do you want to marry him?" And she looked at me kind of funny, and she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, look at him." I said, "Why would you want to marry him?" And she looked at him, and she looked at me and said, "What are you asking?" I said, you tell me." And she said, "Because I love him." I said, "Well, do you?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "That's a good reason to marry him." Amen. It's the only reason to marry him. Amen. Because you really love him. And I said, "Why do you want to marry her?" And he looked at me and said, "Because I love her." He didn't ask no questions. He said, "Because I love her." I said, "That's a good reason." The very top, as human beings know, love is to marry. Commitment is to marry. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's no higher degree of love. The Bible even measures it as the love that Christ had for his church. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." It's the highest level of love that a human being can ever experience here on earth. But up in heaven, we step up into a little bit higher degree of love. That's the reason why there's no marrying in heaven, because we're going to find the perfect love when we get in glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if it's any better than me loving Miss D, I'm going to have myself a time in heaven. Hallelujah. And you are too. Woo. Imagine that. He said it's going to be like angels. Boy, I think my wife's an angel. I do. Amen. She don't think so, but I do. Amen. Going to be like angels. The Bible said that there is no man, no given in marriage. He said, "But are ye as the angels which are in heaven?" There is no need of procreation in heaven. You're not going to have babies in heaven. No need of it. Amen. There's no need of multiplying in heaven. All that's going to be there is those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so there's no need of marriage there. Amen. What's the purpose of getting married in heaven if you're not going to multiply and have children? That was one of the purposes that God give for marrying, that we might multiply. We're not going to have none of that in glory. We're going to be like the angels. There's no male or female, no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. I'm talking about eternity now. Thoughts about eternal things. Amen. Well, then he says over in the book of Luke that you're never going to die. He said, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. Woo! Hallelujah! We don't have to worry about dying anymore. Amen. That's eternity. There'll never be another birthday in heaven, and there'll never be another death day in heaven. Hallelujah. He said, and they cannot die. Glory to God. There ain't going to be no dying in eternity. Thank God. He said in this same verse, he said, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God. Being the children of the resurrection, there is no more dying in eternity. Thank God there'll be no funeral home. Amen. There'll not be a cemetery in glory. Hallelujah. Not another fear of dying. Not another sickness. Nor another sorrow or a separation in eternity. For he said we cannot die. Thoughts on eternity. I wouldn't know anybody wouldn't want eternal life. Do you? Fight against having eternal life. All that we know about is this life down here. Amen. We are the children of God and we enjoy the blessings of eternity. I tell you, these Sadducees missed out on the blessing of the resurrection, didn't they? Amen. He said, for they cannot die. I want to say this morning, I long for eternity, don't you? Amen. Amen. You know, we spend a 24-hour day here, and our old physical bodies can't last 24 hours most of the time. There are some people that can stay up for a couple of days at a time, but then they finally kind of fade back and need some rest and find some sleep. Amen. Yeah. Most of us, we can't handle a 24-hour day, but we'll just go for a few hours, and then we've got to drift off into a sleep. Amen. And then we wake up into the next day feeling as best as we can. And then we go that same routine over and over and over again. And then one day we die. We die down here, never to wake up in another day here. But we step over those that are saved by the grace of God. Step over into eternity. Amen. To never again fall asleep. Asked my wife the other day, I said, why you go to bed so late? She said, I just hate to have to sleep, afraid I miss out on something. Yeah. She said, I feel like my life gets away from me if I sleep it away. And I said, well, that don't make sense. I said, you can go to bed and get up early in the morning. She said, I'm not a morning person. One of these days she'll be a morning person. Yeah. Amen. It'll be the last one. Have a wake up to. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo! Bless his holy name. One eternal day with the Lord. There'll be no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There'll be no 24-hour day. 8-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts. It'll be one eternal day, for they shall never die. He said he come to give eternal life. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He come to give eternal life, that we can enjoy eternity. Now, eternity is not only for the saved, but it's for the unsaved also. Just as long as we bask in the day of the Lord Jesus, there'll be those that rejected God in disbelief wind up in the outer darkness, and they'll dwell in the darkness forever and all throughout eternity. Just as long as we're basking in the sunlight, S-O-N, of God, they'll be suffering in the darkness, amen, of hell. I'm going to say to you this morning, you better choose right, amen. Christ to you. There'll be no more dying. But then, finally, in eternity, we'll have a new body. Boy, I'm glad of that. I guess that'd probably be one that I'd want to get hold of. Is a new body. Brother David, you can take off that oxygen. You won't have to worry with that no more. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Well, if you're going to spend eternity, you're going to have an eternal body. You can't be in eternity and not have an eternal body. For this natural man can't handle eternity. He's well not even to try. Amen. It just deteriorates and it goes away. And the Bible said to dust whence it come, and it'll go back to dust where it come from. Amen. It's but dust, and it's going to go back to the earth where it come from. And so the only way that we can enjoy eternity, amen, being me and being you, we're going to have a new body. Amen. And so he promises us a brand new body. The Bible said, fashioned like it unto the Son of Man. Amen. We're going to have that glorified body that the Lord Jesus has. You'll know me, and I'll know you. Yeah. Amen. Well, preacher, now, that don't make any sense. Well, let's flip over here to Matthew in chapter number 17. The Bible said here, and after 6 days, Jesus take Peter and James and John, his brethren, bring them unto the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine. Yeah. Now, what make this think that Jesus changed over to somebody else? Yeah. Said, and as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. And he said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, what they were trying to do is they were trying to erect 3 tabernacles for Jesus and for Moses and for Elias. What if they didn't know who those 3 people were? Well, then how did they name them? How did they know them? Do you think that Moses and Elias had special privileges, that they were somehow or another changed from heaven back to earth? And back into Moses and back into Elias? No, no. But what they did have was a new body. Yeah. Amen. New body. For Christ now has been transfigured. They knew that was Jesus. They saw him and they said, Lord. They didn't scratch their head and say to themselves, who is this bright and shining man? They said it was Jesus. The same Jesus they had just been talking to. And he appears unto them and transfigures into a glorified body. Yeah. The apostle Paul said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Yeah. We shall have a new body. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And we're going to have all of that in eternity. In eternity. My daddy, when he passed away, I was praying. I wanted to just talk to him. I wanted to see him and talk to him. I hadn't done that to my mother. But I did my daddy. Not that I love my mother or daddy better than one another, but I don't know. I think it satisfied me about heaven. But I went and was praying, and I went to sleep one night. And I had a dream. And we're sitting in the house, and there's a knock on the door. My dad was at the door. And when I opened the door and I saw him, he wasn't that same sick man as he was the last time I saw him here. But it was him. I didn't have to ask him who you are. I opened my door and said, "Well, Daddy." I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Fine." I said, "Come on in here." And he come in, and I sat down at the kitchen table, and he sat down. I said, "How is it?" He said, "It's fine."
Yeah.
I said, "Everything's fine, William." He said, "You don't ever have to worry about me." He said, "Everything's good where I'm at." And I said, "Well, Daddy, that's great." And he said, "Well, in just a few minutes," he said, "they're calling for me." He said, "I've got to go." I said, "Well, Daddy," I said, "it sure is good to see you." And he said, "It's good." And he got up, he headed for the door. He was wanting to go back there more than he wanted to stay here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted him to stay longer.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to stay longer. He wanted to go back where he come. And he started out the door and opened the door. And I said, "Well, Daddy, I'll see you later." He said, "I'll see you." And he went on and was gone. And I thought to myself, "Amen. Thank you, Lord, for sending my daddy back for just a little bit. Let me see that he's okay." He left here a little iffy. You know what I'm talking about? Had a lot of questions in my mind. Did Daddy really get saved? Is Daddy in heaven? Or is he in hell? Had a lot of questions in my mind. But that settled it. That settled it. Amen. We're going to have a new body in heaven, eternity. Eternity. Now, my question to you is this morning, is how close are you to eternity with God? How much of eternity do you think about? Is this right here all you think about? Is the temporal? I read to you here in Corinthians, he said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." That's the things that we're looking at here all the time. And we don't think about eternity. But that's what Jesus came to do for us, is to give us eternal life to have eternally. How much do you think about eternity? When you leave this world, where will you spend eternity? You're going somewhere forever. If you're going to go home to be with God and become the children of God, you've got to be born again. But if you remain the same and you die the same person you are right now and never have been born again or possess that perfect life, you're going to spend it separated from God and in hell forever. You make that choice, but eternity is real. And it's a long, long, long time. While we stand this morning.